When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary with Minky Couture, luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Girls with Goals with your host, Caroline. If you are a regular listener of the show, you know that this is hosted by myself and my twin sister and Catherine. Sometimes we break off and do solo episodes. What we've never done, or what I've never done, is film a solo episode. But we really want to get back to filming our episodes. It's just so fun when you guys have a visual as well, and we can post that onto Spotify and onto YouTube, and we can pull clips of it so you guys can see, like, some of our favorite quotes and smaller reminders and things like that, and we get to share them all over social media. So because I want to connect more with you guys and be able to do that and have this face-to-face, I am sitting alone in front of my camera. If you are listening on Spotify, you can actually switch and watch it and have a video version of this on Spotify as well. I want to talk about failure today. I want to talk about the concept of failure, the feeling of failure, and ways to reframe that mindset, because it honestly is very silly. Like, the idea of feeling like you failed is so silly, because failure is a concept that, like, honestly doesn't really exist. It's kind of like, you know, when people say, oh, when someone's saying something and you want to question it, just keep asking them why over and over and over again. That's kind of something you can do with failure as well, and it makes it seem so silly if you do. Like, I'm talking about this in the sense of if somebody was to say, oh, I don't want to go out with you. And you're like, why? And they're like, because I don't think we're a good match. And then why? Not that actually, this is like, that's a really bad metaphor, because I don't think you ever need to be asking somebody and digging that deep about why someone doesn't want to go out with you. That's kind of a yes or no answer. But let's just keep going with that example, because it kind of makes sense. Like, the more you dig, the more you get to the bottom of, like, what the actual reasoning is. Like, you could ask yourself, oh, I feel like shit today. I have really bad body image today and really low self-confidence. And then why? Because I think I look bad. Why? Because I feel bloated and dull. Why? Well, maybe because I'm tired and dehydrated, blah, blah, blah. And you can, like, keep separating the issue to get to a core point, so you're not just, like, ruminating on this negative feeling. That's something you can do for anything. But if you ask that with failure, it kind of makes you seem silly, because you start saying why, and then you realize that it's all tied to either some sort of fear or some sort of self-imposed rule or societal pressure. Failure doesn't actually exist, like, in the confines of our own life and our own space. It exists when we have these arbitrary rules and these societal expectations, and then we feel like we failed those rather than failing ourselves, because failing ourselves doesn't really exist. And I say this now from a place of, like, my highest self, because in an actual moment of feeling any negative feeling and feeling that way, it really is hard to believe. And I've had so many moments and experiences recently that have kind of in a way felt like a failure, and I've been having a lot of my own revelations recently about, like, what failure is and about why I might feel that way about things and why I'm reacting the way I do. Like, just in the sense that I'm like, wow, I feel like I'm constantly throwing myself a pity party these days in a way that I'm not really used to, and that I don't think is actually myself. But I've kind of gotten in this comfort zone of, like, feeling like I failed something and then having a little pity party and being a bit more self-deprecating than I should be or than I usually am. And I want to reframe that, because it's honestly, it's creating way too much negativity in my life and in my mind, and I don't want to be like that. I don't want to make myself feel that way. So I've been digging into my own kind of thoughts of things that I feel like I failed at recently, and I want to expose those to you guys, and then we can kind of reframe them together. And I can tell you a little bit off the cuff what I think I'm learning from this and how we can reframe failure, because I'm 23. I just turned 23 in August, and at this age, it feels like decisions are starting to be more definite, or that things have more weight to them. Things I do have more permanence to them. And so suddenly I'm overthinking what I'm doing, but also how other people are perceiving what I'm doing more than I think I ever have before. Like, it's just a weird thing at this age. Like, I just graduated college, so suddenly there's not, like, the cushion or the safety net of that, or, like, the kind of, I don't know if innocence is the right word, but that cushion of, like, oh, but I'm still in college, so things are less serious. Like, where I live, the relationships I'm in, the job that I have, like, it doesn't totally matter because real life hasn't really started yet. And then suddenly it kind of feels like real life has started. And one of these things, and the most prominent to me right now, is that I had signed up for a marathon, and I was training for this marathon. It is still scheduled for October 12th. And it's a goal that I set for myself, knowing that I had the whole summer, knowing that, like, running is something that I've kind of fallen back in love with recently and been more consistent with than ever in the past couple years. And it really, like, mentally and physically challenges me, I think, more than anything else, because I don't think it's super intrinsic to me. Like, I think that it takes me out of my comfort zone a little bit. And I wanted to do that. I wanted to build that challenge for myself. And so I signed up for a marathon. And you see all these people running marathons. Like, I almost think running has become such a trend in such a good way, but I see so many people running races and running marathons, and it almost made it seem like so simple. Like, oh, if I have the time and I do a training plan, of course I can get there. And I was humbled pretty quickly, because I started following my plan and I was running, and things weren't, like, totally easy the whole time. Like, runs were really challenging, but I was doing it. I was feeling really proud of myself. I was running farther than I ever have before and hitting all these PRs. Super exciting, mentally there, my head's in the game. I'm a little scared, but I'm mostly excited and feeling good about it. And then I wake up one morning after my 16 mile long run, and my ankle and my shin are just in so much pain I can barely walk down the stairs. And I was like, oh shit. And I thought, you know, give it time, it'll pass. So I took a week of rest that turned into 2 weeks of rest that turned into, well, now I can walk, but it still hurts when I do any sort of hopping or running. And for a while, I was still so committed to this October 12th marathon that I was like, it's okay, I'm gonna cross train. Even if it takes a month, I can cross train, I can keep my cardio fitness up, I'll get there. So I was on the bike, I was doing my strength, trying to get myself better. And all of a sudden, it's been a month and a half, and I have not confidently been able to run again. And I've had to come to terms with, okay, maybe it's not too realistic to make it to that starting line. And it's super disappointing. And I've had a little bit of time to, like, make the decision. I was going really, really back and forth with the decision for a while. Like, do I just push through and try to show up and do this race and finish what I started? Or do I pull back, say, hey, maybe I went out too far, too fast, maybe I didn't do this right, like, kind of take accountability for that, and replan and try again another time? And if it was my ego talking, I really wanted to just cross train until I got there, show up on race day and run 26 miles and just do it, even though I've never run farther than 16. I was like, but I feel like if my head's in the game and I cross train there and I recover, I can show up and I can do it. But the more I thought about it, the more the mature side of me realized that's not how I want to do it. I don't want to do it just because I set this arbitrary date. And so I feel like tied and shackled to that, and that I have to do this goal on that date or else. Because if I'm actually thinking bigger picture, I would be a lot more proud of myself if I could train properly, do all of it right, and feel really confident in myself going into that day, rather than showing up and being like, okay, I hope I survive this. Like, I don't want to just survive it. I want to be confident that I can do it and I can do it well, and I want to feel better about that. But in order to do that long term, I had to come to terms with the fact that I am going to have to quit this now. I am going to have to cancel this right now. I am going to have to announce that, because I talked to people in my personal life, but also all over social media about my marathon training. Like, I'm going to have to admit this. And that feels like a failure. It feels like so disappointing. Like, why was I not able to do this? And I know why I wasn't able to do it. I know that I didn't have a strong enough base and that I tried to do it too quickly and that I wasn't foam rolling and stretching as much as they should have been, and I wasn't prioritizing my recovery as much as they should have been. Like, my smarter mind knows why this happened and knows that ultimately it is going to be okay because I'm going to get smarter from this and I'm going to grow from this. But this more self-deprecating, self-sabotaging side of myself is like feeling like this is a failure because I couldn't, because I built a plan and because I didn't get there. And it's really disappointing, and it's okay to feel disappointed. But what I uncovered in ruminating on this so much and thinking about this so much was that it really wasn't that I was disappointing myself by having to take more time to do this. It was more so that I was embarrassed or feeling like I would look like a failure to other people. Because I didn't actually feel like a failure to myself. As much as it's disappointing and frustrating that I got injured, I was still running more consistently than ever. I still was hitting distance PRs and running further than a half marathon multiple times, which is the farthest I've ever run before all of this training. I was learning so much about it. I was feeling passionate about it. I was creating content about it. Like, I was doing so many things that to me were actually really big wins. And sure, it's disappointing that I'm not gonna get there on that exact day. But it honestly isn't a failure to myself because I know that I'm going to get there probably still within a year. And the date that I chose was like kind of arbitrary to begin with. It was just a specific race that was kind of local to me. And of course I wanted to do it. And of course I still want to do it. And it's frustrating. But at the end of the day, like, I still had so many wins along the way. And the biggest sense of failure was almost just the perception of failure from other people. And so that's one thing that I'm really going to take with me from this. One, all of the things that I've actually learned about running and marathon training that I'm going to take with me once I can run again very soon and build it back up. But also, a question I'm asking myself now that I honestly wish I'd been asking myself a lot longer before now is, am I doing this because it's going to look good to other people, or am I doing this because it's going to feel good for myself? At this age, decisions feel like they hold so much weight to them, and I feel like I'm getting so much decision fatigue. Like, every small choice feels like this big crossroads and this big life event of, like, making a decision. But when you really stop and think about it, the answer is usually a lot more simple than we make it seem. It's just that we're layering it with the expectations of other people. When I strip it down to, what do I actually care about? What do I actually want to do? What is going to make me feel good, not just make me be perceived better by other people? The answer is usually right in front of my face. And so I would say that's the first lesson of failure and the first reframe of failure that I want to talk about today is really questioning why you feel like you failed and if it actually is a personal failure. Because a lot of the time, there's actually personal wins underneath what we ultimately see as a failure, and we only feel like it's a failure because it might be perceived as failing to other people, when really, we achieved, we learned, we grew all along the way. You know, at the end of the day, you can only fail if you tried something, and isn't the action of trying something a win in itself? And the second lesson that I want to talk about failure is that most of our goals are actually very meaningless. Like, we take these hyper-specific goals that we pull from maybe this greater vision we have, but those small goals in and of themselves are often super arbitrary and meaningless, but it's when we don't achieve those that we feel like we failed. Like, we lose sight of the bigger picture of, like, why we set this specific goal to begin with, and then just because we don't reach that at the certain date or time or specific measure that we've set for it, we feel like we failed, when actually we've moved so much further to what the greater goal is. So take, for example, you have a greater goal in your life to be more consistent in the gym, to be healthier, to, you know, treat your body better, whatever it is that's this overarching goal that might make you want to work out more often. If you set a goal to go to the gym 5 days this week and you only made it four, you're gonna feel like a failure for going 4 days. If you set a goal from the start to go to the gym for 3 days and then you make it four, you feel like you've done extra. You feel like you've won. In both scenarios, you've gone to the gym 4 days, but in one, you lose motivation, and in the other, you gain momentum. So it actually is so much better to set smaller goals sometimes that you can go above and beyond and feel really good about than shooting for the stars and feeling like you failed. And it's super tempting when we feel really passionately about something and we want to see results as quickly as possible to set a really big goal, because also in the heat of the moment, we probably think we can do that. Like when we're thinking about it on the weekend, we're like, yeah, I can totally go to the gym 5 days next week. But then when you get into your routine of life and you have stress and you have tasks and you get tired, it might feel a lot less realistic. And it's demotivating if you've set this big goal and then you feel like, oh, I actually couldn't do that. Versus if from the get-go you say, I feel really good about this. I am super motivated. I want to get there. But you hold yourself back just a little bit in the plan that you make and you say, oh, I'm going to go 3 or 4 days. And then you do that, or you do that and more, you feel really great about yourself. You feel really positive. And now you've built momentum to keep building on that and keep going forward. In both scenarios, you went to the gym 4 days, but because you set a smaller goal from the start, you were able to feel better about yourself and then go even farther rather than feeling like you failed and then pulling back and maybe never doing it again. And this goes for everything. Don't lose sight of what that bigger goal is, and don't lose sight that a lot of these hyper-specific goals we make on the way to get there are meaningless. Like, there's no reason that you chose 5 days at the gym versus 4 days at the gym, other than in one moment you were feeling super motivated and that sounded like what you wanted to do. And so specific goals are great. Like, they give us check boxes. They break down, hey, I have this bigger goal, but what can I do today? What can I do this week? What can I do this month to get there? So having specific goals is really helpful and it is really important, but not checking the box.
While you're doing your spring cleaning, why don't you clean up the languages you know? And by that, I mean check in and practice the languages you already know or pick up something new. Rosetta Stone is the trusted language expert with 30 years of experience, millions of users, and 25 languages offered. Rosetta Stone is the go-to language learning solution. You can learn faster and retain longer because Rosetta Stone immerses you in your new language naturally, which helps you think and communicate with confidence. And you know, Growth with Goals listeners, it's all about confidence. And long-term means long-term because you can learn for life. And with Rosetta Stone, long-term language learning means long-term because you can learn for life. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership gives you access to all 25 languages so you can learn as many as you want and whenever you want. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Growth with Goals podcast listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That is unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/today to get 50% off today and to start learning today.
Box perfectly of that specific goal does not actually indicate failure, because you're always still moving towards that greater goal. And a lot of the time, these specific details, like, they don't actually matter. Like, they're not the game-changing part of it. The game-changing part of it is that you stay consistent and you keep going and you keep trying and working towards that greater goal. The game-changing detail is not, but I did it by this day, or this week I did it perfectly. It's not. And so that would be the second reframe, that a lot of the time when we think we fail, we're only looking at this tiny bubble of what it was today or what it was this week, and we're not actually looking at the greater goal. And we might actually be winning in terms of the greater goal. So don't discourage yourself by feeling like you failed this one moment or you failed to check this box today, when really that's not what matters. And by constantly letting yourself feel like you're failing or you're letting yourself down by not checking a box, you're only demotivating yourself more and pulling yourself farther and farther back from actually achieving the greater goal that you have. So the marathon was this much bigger overarching thing. Now I want to talk about, and this is going to sound even sillier, now I want to talk about a smaller moment recently that was really discouraging and that I kind of felt a similar way. And oh my God, I'm going to sound so stupid saying this, maybe, but, and Catherine and I took a trip recently, and we took a week away, and we wanted to go and see Milan. We'd never been to Milan, and we wanted to go to Lake Como, and we were going with one of our friends, because he had a week off of work, and he wanted to take a vacation week, and he invited us, and we've been living at home this summer. I'm not paying rent. I haven't traveled in a while, so I was like, you know what? Yeah, I could take a trip. And so we picked a week, and we squished in going to Milan and going to Lake Como, but also, and Catherine and I, one of our best friends lives in London. And so anytime we're going through Europe, we try to take advantage of it and fly through London and spend at least a night with her, hopefully longer. And so we were like, yeah, let's do it this time. Like, the flights made sense. We booked a really, really, really packed, tight week. It was 7 days that were all amazing experiences, but it never really slowed down. Like, we had an overnight flight to get to London where I didn't really sleep, so I showed up tired. One day to spend with, like, my best friend, so, like, I want my energy to be up and I want to be on. And then having to wake up at 4 a.m. the next day to get on the flight to Milan. And so already in those first 48 hours, I was like, oh boy, I'm run down. Oh boy. And so then for the rest of the trip, like, I felt more exhausted and I felt more stressed than I would have liked to. And I found that as good of a time as I did have, I really struggled to actually relax. And I kind of felt this sense of failure to myself for that. And I hope you guys understand what I'm saying, because I know it could come off in a way of sounding bratty, like, oh, I was too stressed during my vacation to Italy. Like, it sounds kind of dumb in the sense, but I hope you guys understand what I'm saying, that sometimes we put ourselves in situations where we fill our plates too much, or we make a plan for ourselves that actually, like, isn't the smartest for ourselves and actually is going to wear us down. And then when we're the versions of ourselves that live through that, we're like, why did I do this to myself? And so that's kind of how I was feeling then, where I was like, why did I do this to myself? Like, I have a lot of freedom right now. I could have stayed 2 days in London to make sure that I didn't feel so rushed. I could have chosen not the 5 a.m. flight out so that I had to be, you know, on my way to the airport at 4 a.m. Like, I didn't have to choose that. But in the moment, I was saying, oh, I want to fit as much as possible as I can into this week. And also, I want to do it on the cheapest flights possible. And I kind of screwed myself over, because it took away from my experience. Like, I was trying to build a great experience for myself and it took away from it. And so I was kind of disappointed with myself at the end of that, because I'm like, I didn't have to do that. Like, those are not rules that were made up. I didn't have to go to 3 different locations. I could have just chosen one. But I know that I like to do that and I like to make the most of my time. So I could have taken longer. I could have allocated more days so that I could have spent more time there. Or I could have chosen more comfortable flights, blah, 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 blah. Like, there's a lot of things I could do. And so in a way, I was kind of frustrated with myself and feeling like I failed myself, not to mention our flight home was an absolute disaster. And we had a connecting flight and the first one got delayed so much. We missed our connection. We had to spend the whole night in the airport, blah, blah, blah. Ended up having to pay more for a more expensive ticket to get home anyways. So then I felt like a real idiot, because I was like, wow, I jumped through all of these hoops to make this trip as quick and as cheap and blah, blah, blah as I could. And then I was kind of stressed the whole time. And then I also ended up having to pay for a more expensive ticket anyways. So I kind of just screwed myself over. And I wish that I would have done things very differently from the start. But the thing is, like, we can't go back in time. I know what I know now, and I'm going to learn from it, and I'm going to do things differently when I travel in the future. And I say this every time, because then you get away from it, and then the next time you're like, oh, I can take the cheap flight again, save a few a few hundred bucks, because you're away from that experience. But oh my God, so many times I've had flights get so messed up that I'm like, okay, I just have to get the direct flight and the more expensive flight from the get-go, because it actually usually just makes more sense in the end. But I have to give myself credit that a lot of things were out of my control, because I'm blaming myself a lot for this experience, but a lot of things are out of my control. It was not in my control that our flight home got delayed and it caused that whole mess. And honestly, if that had gone smoothly, I probably wouldn't be feeling this way about myself. I would have felt like, wow, I really pulled that trip off and I had a great time. But because I got so tired and run down and spent a night in the airport at the end of it, it kind of like put this damper on the entire experience itself. But that wasn't in my control. Sure, I can say, yeah, next time I'm going to be more careful and I'm not going to buy a connecting flight that close and I'm not going to buy the cheapest flight. But say things had gone as planned, it would have all worked out and it would have all been fine. Like, the plan that I had actually made would have worked smoothly, and the piece that didn't come together was out of my control. I can learn from it, but I don't have to blame myself for it. And so, as perhaps silly as that specific situation is, I just think it brings to light how often we blame ourselves for things that are out of our control, or we act in hindsight like we should have or could have done something differently, when, like, ignorance is bliss. In the moment when we were planning it, when we were thinking it, when we were doing it, like, we didn't know what the outcome was going to be. We didn't know how this was going to happen. So we can't blame ourselves for it now, especially when so many pieces of it are out of our control. And the last question I want to ask you about failure is, Did you fail, or have you just not tried for long enough? Have you just not been consistent enough and given it enough time? Because I promise you, time and consistency is on your side, especially when we're trying something new. It can feel like constant trial and error, and every day can feel like you're either super motivated about it and you're having a breakthrough, or you're super demotivated and it felt like that day was a flop. But days compound and days build up, and you learn something from every experience. So did you fail in this moment and then quit? Or did you do something that didn't totally work out and you learned from it and you kept going and you let time and consistency be on your side until it worked out? It's really hard to see where something is going to go in the moment because you don't know. But I promise if you take a moment right now to think about the things that you have in your life and the things that you're doing in your life, like, you might not be where you want to be right now, but I promise you, you are closer than you were 2 years ago. Think about everything you have right now that you used to wish you had, because we get so far removed from that and we keep raising our own bar that we forget we're living the dream life of a past version of ourselves. We're just maybe not living what we've reframed as being our dream life right now, but we're living our old dream life. Success doesn't just come from reaching the destination, it also comes from getting closer to it. And so that comes from trying and learning and being consistent and letting time be on your side. So often we give up before we can actually see something come to be. And I think this is an especially good reminder right now because it's October. We have 3 months left of this year. That's really crazy. 2025 has been weird. It went by. One, I feel like it went by really fast, especially this summer. Like, this summer absolutely flew by for me. And also since graduating, I'm like having a hard time keeping track of where months even are and when things happened. And I'm like having a bad memory about it because it's just like so much has happened so fast. And there's been so many different phases and so many different moments. Like, this has been a big year, at least for me. I don't know about any of you guys listening, but we have 3 months left. We're 75% of the way through winter that we're coming up on. It can kind of feel like the end before it's already the end, but it's not. We still have 25% of this year left, and you don't need to wait until January 1st to feel like a fresh start to try something and to start something, because the thing is, everything that we set our minds to and everything we want to do takes time to get there. So wouldn't it be so much more exciting if by January 1st you were already in a better place than you were now because you decided to start today and you went through the trial and error period and you went through the learning from it and figuring out what was right period. And so by January 1st, you're actually already seeing results and making progress and moving towards where you want to be. You're not starting the trial and error. If you commit to trying something right now, then by January 1st, you would already be in a place where you've learned so much from it and you've maybe made it a consistent habit already, and you just get to build off of that. So I think right now in October, when we're kind of going into this slower fall season, it can kind of feel like it's already the end of the year before it's the end of the year. Now is a really good time to look back on what were my goals at the beginning of this year and how can I use these last 3 months to get myself closer to them. And who gives a shit if by the end of 2025 you've perfectly checked off every box you have for yourself this year? As long as you've made some progress, as long as you're closer, as long as you've done something, because I'm sure you've also done some things that you're proud of that weren't even on your list, that at the start of this year you couldn't even imagine setting as a goal. But you've done it now. So I don't care if you haven't perfectly checked off your list, as long as you can acknowledge that you've made some progress this year and you've moved forward this year. And so check in with yourself now and see, like, what was it that you wanted from this year? And are those things that you still want? They might not be, but if there are things that you still want, how can I use these last 3 months to get myself closer to being there so that at the end of this year, I can think like, wow, I actually did it. I actually got there, or I actually moved forward and I got closer to there, and I'm going to keep progressing on that this year. And I think that that's a cool way to look ahead at New Year's resolutions, because we could use that as a date of like, okay, I'm waiting until that day and then I'm making the change. But the truth is, change takes time. We might try to implement a habit, we might try to change a mindset, but we're not actually going to see those results right away. And so New Year's resolutions, they fail because we put so much weight on doing something on that day, but we're not actually going to see the results of it until after. Today is the day where if you started today, you would see the result by January 1st. And so it could be a really good challenge if you're looking for a bit of motivation headed towards the end of this year to set a goal now in a pretty like relaxed, nonchalant kind of way. Just stay consistent with something as best as you can for the next 90 days and then see where you're at on January 1st. And the motivation and the snowball effect that you're going to have at that point is probably going to take you so much farther than if you just sat and waited until January 1st. Anyways, that was kind of a silly tangent on New Year's resolutions. What a random topic to get into, but I just know it's crazy that it's already about to be October. And I feel like it was just June, and I feel like it was just May when I was graduating. And yeah, this year has gone by sneaky, sneaky fast. And I would personally like to have a good mindset and good habits for the rest of it so that I can be in a really good place for the rest of the year and also for next year too. And there actually is a theory about this time compounding thing. The 90-day rule says that what you start today, for the first 30 days you're learning, for the next 30 days you're taking action, and for the last 30 days you're seeing the results. So what you start today, you're not going to see the results of today. You might not see the results of them for a while. But if you don't let that discourage you and you can stick to it and let time be on your side for 90 days, then you will see the results. It's a really cool way to look at a goal and take the pressure off of having to reach the achievement overnight. And it's not even like 90 days has to be, you know, a perfect day, but it's a good rule of thumb for like, hey, this could take a full 3 months. And that might sound like a long time, but in the grand scheme of things, 3 months goes by really, really fast. And if you take the pressure off of starting something today and having to achieve it overnight, and you say, no, this does take time, this might be a trial and error for the first bit, then I might be more confident in my action in the middle. And then that's when it's going to start compiling and I'm going to see the results. So don't get too caught up in feeling like you've failed this moment or failed this day, because you might just be in that trial and error phase. So yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for hanging out with me, whether you were watching on Spotify or YouTube or you're listening on Spotify or Apple. Make sure you're following Girls with Goals wherever you are watching and listening. That way you get notified when there are new episodes. It also just helps our show grow a lot. If you want to send this episode to a friend who you might think benefit from listening to it. I know everyone's always looking for podcast recommendations. And so if you think somebody would like this episode, obviously send it their way. And I hope that they like it and they enjoy hanging out too. And this was fun. I appreciate the space to yap and talk with you guys for a while about things that I've been feeling and also the ways that I'm trying to reframe them. A lot of the time, the things I talk about are really the things that I need to hear myself, or are the things that I needed to hear myself 2 weeks ago. And now I've just had a little bit of time to reflect on them and pull some lessons from them. But in the moment, I don't always have those lessons and I don't always have those answers. But I hope I have a little bit of something now that I can relay to you guys and you can take from it. So if you did take something from this, you can absolutely send me a message on Instagram at Caroline Kinnean or our podcast page at Girls with Goals Pod. And Catherine and I will be together next week for another episode. So we'll see you on Monday. Bye. The 90-day rule says that whatever you start today, in the first 30 days you're learning, in the next 30 days you're taking action, and in the last 30 days you see results. So what you start today, you might not see results of today. You might not see results of for a while, but if you can stick with it for 90 days and let it compound and let time be on your side, then you will.